Brother Daniel is no stranger to many of us, but to some of us he is. Daniel will be sharing his testimony throughout the week and is part of his messages. Has been a pastor up at Followers of Jesus in New York City, Brooklyn, and many of us know him through that. Some of you may still be thinking he lives in New York, but he does not. I guess they moved to Ohio, what, about 2 years ago? And his wife, June, is here with us, and it's been a joy to know them through the years and to have Daniel with us. Now, he walked in the room this morning, and I said, "Brother, you're 2 years late." If you remember, we were to have him here 2 years ago, and because of health issues, it did not work out. But you know what? I'm believing that it's not late at all. It's right on time. As the songwriter said, when God's 4 days late, he's right on time, and when he's 2 years late, there's a reason for it, and I'm personally excited to see what that reason is and how that God sends men to preach in various settings at a certain time and for certain reasons and certain things that they may not even know about, and that would be needful at such a time as this. So, brother, let us pray for you, and you be God's servant this week to us. Father, thank you for Brother Daniel, Sister June, for their love for you, their love for the Bible, their call to ministry, and their faithfulness in doing so, and their willingness to come this week, 2020, Lord, and to just share with us what God has laid on their hearts. And we thank you, Lord, for their willingness. Thank you for the faithfulness of your Holy Spirit to take the Word of God and apply it to our hearts. And we pray, Lord, that you'd give him freedom to preach and that you would have freedom to share with our hearts, Lord, and our ears everything that you want us to know and to yield to. We pray for soft hearts this week. We pray for broken hearts, Lord, that we might have your healing touch applied. We pray, Lord, that where there is need for conviction, that there would be conviction administered. And where there's a need for healing, for hope, for admonition, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the men and women of God in living water would be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. God is good, and all the time. All right. I bring you greetings this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is and was and is coming again. Do you believe he's coming again? This side believe, this side not too sure, and this side doesn't want to say anything. All right, well, whether you believe it or not, he's coming again. Yeah, it's good for us to be here, 2 years on time, and we look to see what God has for us. This week of meetings, I just want to share this with you. God laid on my heart to share the messages on the promises of God. The promises of God. In his word, he gives us promises. And today we want to look at the promise. A promise that God says, I would heal all your diseases. God says he's a healer. He's a promise keeper. And this evening, we want to look at the promise of God of his blessings. He bless us. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And we'll continue on for the rest of the week on blessing. On the last day, we look at God's blessings in our promises of salvation. Think of salvation and how he blessed us. So we're looking forward to what the Lord has. But I want to begin by sharing a little bit of my story, a story that began many, many years ago. A long time ago, men and women were taken from Africa, and they were taken to the Caribbean islands, the islands of Trinidad, Jamaica, Guyana, and other parts of the world. And they worked on plantations as slaves. And then one day slavery was abolished. And in the island of Trinidad, when slavery was abolished, they needed workers to work the plantation. There was sugar cane, citrus, cocoa. And what they did is they sent word to India that they need some workers, indentured laborers, that would come and work for a period of time. And a lot of the Indians were sent from India to Trinidad and Tobago to Guyana. Those were the main places they went to. Why am I telling you that? Because my mother's great-grandparents came from India. So she was an Indian woman. And an Indian woman was married to an Indian man. And they had their second child. The first was a girl, the second was a boy. Well, things didn't go as they expected, at least the way her husband expected. Because I was told about 3 months after I was born, he noticed the child didn't look like an Indian child. Some of the features didn't look like an Indian. Maybe there was some African blood in there. And I was told, I was only 3 months, didn't know, but when she was confronted, she did confess that she had an affair with a man of African descent. And so she had a child that wasn't her husband's child. And then he gave her some choices. Choice number one, you get rid of the child. Choice number two, if you don't, I will leave. Choice one, if you do, I will stay. I've asked this question many times in prison, especially in women prison. What would you do? Would you give up the child? Or would you give up the husband? The man that you still love? The man that takes care of your physical needs? And would you give up that husband? Or what about the child that you carry in the womb for 9 months and breastfed for 3 months? See, the choices we make, there are consequences for those choices we make. If it's good, it's good. If it's bad, it's bad. Think of the story of David. David made some bad choices and some good ones. The bad ones we remember today, Bathsheba. You know, David was in the wrong place at the wrong time. All the kings went out to battle. Where was David? Laying in bed. He looked out the window, saw Bathsheba. And the more he looked, the more he wanted what he should not have. And you know the rest of the story. But in my story, there was a choice also to be made. And I was told my mother made a choice. The choice was to cover her sins. The choice was to get rid of the child and keep the husband. And the way she did it was different. Some may say, well, why not find the father, the biological father, or maybe give it to some family members or to the orphanage or adoption. But I was told that she gave me some sort of a poison to drink. And while I was there passing out, she sort of panicked and they called the doctor, someone, and took me to the hospital. And God saved my life. I'm always reminded of Jeremiah. God said to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, while you were yet in the womb, before you were formed, before you came forth out of the womb, I have called you and set you apart to be my word of mouth, my disciple, my prophet in all the nations. And when I saw that passage of scripture, I took that personal, that God has set me apart. What the enemy intended for evil, God intended for good. I'm here to tell you today that God has a purpose and a plan for every life that is here. Doesn't matter how you were born, or whether in wedlock, out of wedlock, or you may think you came from the bad family, you were adopted. God has a plan for each and every one of us here today. I didn't know that. See, because at a very young age, I was told that my mother tried to kill me. I wasn't wanted. See, the person who should protect me and take care of me was the person that tried to kill me. My wife and I have traveled all over the country and parts of the world, and We have met with many couples, many girls, many women. And many of the women would share some of their deepest secrets of being abused physically or sexually by family members. I know how hard it is for them to come to grips that God could still use them. They felt that they were the problem. They were the victim, but yet they felt they were the problem. And they lived that life that they could never do anything for God right. Or maybe they had an abortion many, many years ago and came and confessed and repented and God has forgiven them, but they can't forgive themselves. And the enemy is saying, you can't do it. You can't make it. And that's what I was told growing up. Look where you came from. I was in from house to house, place to place. And my biological father took me when he heard, and he tried to do his best, but he was a very angry man, a very lonely man. And many of his loneliness and anger he took out on me, and it wasn't an easy life. It was a very difficult place to be. Because every time you hear that about, you know, who you are and where you came from, and you'll never amount to anything. And sometimes you start believing it. I remember I could have been around 11 or 12 years old. No, maybe around 13 years old. And I was staying in this home that I was adopted part-time in, and a house, and someone saw this lady coming. She said, that's your mother. And I looked at her, and it was a very hard thing for me to look. And that's the woman who tried to kill me. And I didn't like what I saw. But you know, it took 2 years later that I was in the marketplace. I had run away from where I was staying, my father's house, and I was doing my own thing at 13 and 14 years old. But I remember I was in the marketplace selling. I was working on my own. And I tapped this lady on her back and I said, ma'am, would you like to buy? And when she turned around, it was my mother. It was the worst day of my life. I felt the earth could open up and I could just fall in. I mean, I didn't want to talk to her. And the worst part of it, when I asked her if she wanted to buy, she says, no, son. Now, what son she was talking about, me as a boy or son as I'm your mom and you my son? She had got to know me, seeing me in the yard where I was staying. She lived not too close by. But I was so angry. I didn't want to talk to her. Later on, we talked for a little bit here and there. You know, I tried to talk to her. Until one night I heard that she died. She had an abortion. And I was so angry, I said, you know, look, she tried to kill me, and I live. She tried to kill another child, and she died. I didn't go to her funeral. I didn't go to the wake. I didn't go to her. I had nothing to do with it. I went to party that night. It was a festival for me. She had died. I had lived. But I continue on, trying to work for myself, trying to find my own way. But there was so much hate inside of me, so much bitterness inside of me against women. And I couldn't love any woman. But then one day, something happened. I'll tell you what happened later on this evening. Something happened. Because I want to get into the Word of God right now, so just hold on. You'll get the rest later. Just remember when I say something happened, it means we're going to go to the next, to the real message, the Word of God. If you're here this morning, I want you to open your Bible to the book of Mark the 5th chapter, Mark chapter 5. And I want to look at the promise of God, a promise of healing, the promise of healing. While you're turning there, Isaiah says, he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53:5. James says, If anyone among us are sick, let us call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and he will be forgiven. Mark chapter 16. These signs will follow those who believe. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will be healed. Today, we want to talk of healing. Later on, I'm going to talk about, sometime later in the week, about God's grace when God says no. It was 3 years ago. My wife had always wanted to go to Europe, and it was her 60th birthday. And I had saved some money up, and we decided to go to Europe for her birthday. We got on the plane and first went to London and had a good time in London. And our next stop was Rome. No, next stop was Italy. Who? France. Went to France and, oh, it was good. And we got on the train, and I remember it was a rainy day. Yes, it was hot, and we got on the train with our luggage, and we had to go from the train to a bus to go to the hotel we were staying. And as we get off the train and was going for the bus, we were hungry and it was raining, and we saw a little place selling food. So great, we'll get some food, and we'll shelter the rain, and the bus is right there. And then I got a phone call. And so the phone was my daughter. I handed the phone, and here it was. My daughter is telling her story about what happened when she got the results for a test she did for cancer. And the results were she was positive. She had breast cancer. And it didn't look good. And we wanted to come home. We didn't know what to do. Should we cut our trip short? She said, no, just continue staying. I got some more tests to do. I remember coming back and we prayed, Lord, and we prayed. And I'll tell you more about those praying times when I tell you when God says no. But I want to tell you today that about a couple of months ago, she went to get a test done for cancer, and they said there's no cancer cell left. God is a healer. I also remember when I was sick about 25 years ago in the hospital, the doctors thought they didn't know what was the problem, and they had almost given up in some ways. And God healed me from something called sarcoidosis. I haven't had any attack from it anymore. So God is a healer. But I want to read a story here in the Bible, and I'll come back to some of what we had to say. Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 21. Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by the ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was near unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him greatly, saying, my daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live. Let's look a little bit about first this. I want to tell you two stories today in this. And I believe you'll be able to identify with one of the two. The very first one is a man named Jairus. He was a man of great reputation. He had a name for himself. He was the ruler of the synagogue. It tells us a lot about him. He even came and he fell at the feet of Jesus, a man of high stature. He begged him. He had a daughter that was sick unto death, and Lord, if you would come and just touch her. He had faith to believe for his daughter. You may have faith sometime to believe for yourself, but do you have faith to believe for someone else? And he believed that if Jesus would come and touch her, she will be healed. And Jesus was on his way going. And we're going to get back to his story because something happened. Something interrupted Jesus' journey to go to this man's house. And here it is. And Jesus went with him, and much people, verse 24, followed him. And there was a lot of pushing and shoving, and the people were there. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touch his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his garment, I will be made whole. And straightway the fountain of blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him upon in the press and said, who touched me? The disciples said unto him, Lord, you see the multitude there, and you ask, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her and that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him the truth. Let's see some things about this woman. She had no name. A certain woman. Do you feel like that sometime in a crowd, a person of no name, when you sit among the giants? She was only a certain woman. A certain woman came. She had some things, though. She had a physical issue, a blood issue that was keeping her weak and tired, and she was dying. And she had this for 12 years. Sometimes it's easy to have something for a day, a week, a month. But for 12 years? The same thing over and over. Every day you get up, it's the same problem. And it's just getting worse. So she had a physical issue. She also had a financial issue. She spent all her money on the doctors trying to get well. So now she was broke. What about her family and friends? Couldn't have a husband anymore. Couldn't have children around her. Because as far as the Old Testament in Deuteronomy, it tells you that if a woman had an issue of blood, she couldn't. If she sat on this chair, you couldn't sit there. If she lay on the bed, you couldn't lay on the bed. And if you did sit there, you have to go and wash yourself and stay away. It was the law. The law said this is what you do to a person that had a problem like that. It was like leprosy. Could you imagine how lonely it is? Birthday time comes around and family members have anniversary and weddings and you can't go. You're an outcast. Nobody cares. Nobody likes you. Everyone is shunning you. You're the least of the least. After 12 years, her feet might have gone so low. Maybe she just came to the place. Wasn't going to help. But then she heard about this Jesus was coming through and he was healing and she, her faith rose up inside of her. Could I get that picture up here? I'd ask for a picture to be shown up here on the screen. I got this picture when I was in Israel. I saw this in a church wall, and I took a picture of a picture, and a picture of the lady trying to touch the hem of his garment. I always believe when you think of this woman, she just walked up and tried to touch him, but she couldn't. It was a lot of men, religious men, who were around Jesus. And I believe she had to crawl and hide and push herself to just a touch of his garment. And she believed by faith, if she would just touch the hem of his garment, she could be made whole. But his purpose now. She had a purpose in herself, no matter what, I'm going to I want it so bad. I want it so much that I'm going to risk it all. I want it. I've come to the bottom of the barrel and I need this. And I'm going to do whatever it is to please you, Lord, to just touch the hem of your garment. A big crowd around her and everyone is pushing and shoving. And she touched him and Jesus said, "Who touched me?" I believe that was an indictment on the disciples. Because they were there all the time. They were there. They were pushing. They were shoving. They were touching him. They were walking with him. They were eating with him. And the power never came out like it did on that day. The power never came out. It's like you come to church. Everybody's in church and everybody's singing. Everybody's praising God. And one person. Or there's an altar call and you come to the altar and everybody's weeping and crying. One person got up and is really healed, is really touched. Because they came by faith, not because of the crowd. See, sometimes we go because the crowd is going. There's a big crowd, and we want to be a part of the crowd. This woman didn't think about the crowd. As a matter of fact, she was hiding from the crowd. Crawling on her face. Because she really needed it. Do you really need to touch him today? And she got what she needed. She dared to touch him. See, because if you would touch someone that was sick, then you would become sick. But here she touched Jesus, and she became healed. I mean, sometimes it blows my mind to think what he does. He changed everything around. And in the physical sense, in his manly sense, he didn't even know who touched him. But in his God, he knew who touched him. Who touched me? We must remember that anyone who touches would become unclean. Yet she became clean. She crawled on her hands and knees to be able to touch the hem of his garment, touching only the hem. Didn't even touch his body. Didn't even touch his hand. Didn't touch his leg. She only touched what touched him. She touched what touched Jesus. I mean, you're sitting here right now. It should be blowing your mind. I mean, she didn't even touch him. She only touched the clothes that touched him. And the power was so strong in him. That's the Jesus you serve. That's the God we serve. And if you don't say amen now, something is wrong. Man, I tell you, this is a powerful thing. She touched his garment. The garment touched him, and she got healed. Was it because she touched the garment? Or was it a touch of faith? The faith she had in him. Just like they say, you know, when you get anointing, it's not the oil. It's the faith. The faith to believe that God is true to his promise. He says, "I will heal." And he's a healer. Now, she had a bad past. 12 years with his sickness. I'm here to tell you today, you must get past your history so you can reach your destiny. You must get past. Well, look what I have done in the past. Look where I was in the past. Look how I... See, if you live in the past, you can't get your destiny. See, I can't live in the past of how I grew up and what I mean, I could tell you stories after stories. Matter of fact, this evening I'll tell you a story, and well, maybe tomorrow you'll be shocked to know that's how far down the barrel I was. But today I'm ashamed of what I did, but I don't live in that anymore because Christ took the shame away and the guilt when I changed my life and gave it to him. Isaiah chapter 53. "Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow, yet we did esteem him stricken,
smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for a transgression. He was bruised for iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. That was way back then, but it's still today. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Now, there was something happening here. Now that she got healed, and she was trying to get away, Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And she had to come back and confess. She had to come back with confession and repentance. And she came back and told the whole story. One of the things that really kind of troubles me in our Anabaptist churches, and I noticed it here this morning, not one person here this morning gave a praise report about what God has done for them this last week. Not one person wanted to sit up and say, I just thank God for what I heard about missionaries. It's good. I had a story. I heard about a child that died. Has a story. I heard of let's pray for the country. That's a good story. God didn't do anything for anyone this last week. I don't know for you, but the alarm clock didn't wake me up this morning. Because that could have come on and go on and on and on and on, and I could have been in another world on the other side. Do we come to church with a testimony of praise? We take life so for granted. I'm not here to chastise you, because that's me also. Because sometimes we just want to sit down. We don't want anyone to think that, you know, hey, this is what God did for me. This woman came and she just laid out. She just shared maybe the last 12 years, all she'd been through and what was happening. And others were able to listen. You see, when you give a testimony, when you stand up in church to give a testimony of what God has done, it's not about you. It's about him. I get a job, or I got, you know, whatever it is, and it's not about me. It's the one who provided, Jehovah Jireh, the provider. It's not about me. I can heal myself. He's the healer. I want to encourage us as a people to give a testimony. Share something the last month, what God has done, even through COVID. God kept you. 200,000 people, they said, have died. And you're here today. People you know was in the hospital, and you didn't make it to the hospital. So, just a little side note. Come with a testimony of what the Lord has done that will encourage someone else that may be going through the same thing that you went through. And they can say, well, if God can do it for you, he can do it for me. And that might help build my faith and trust in him. Now let's look at the other situation. We're running out of time, but we're going to go to the second one. This one, the first one, she had faith to believe for herself. Do you have faith to believe for yourself? Do you trust him so much that whatever you're going through, no matter how difficult it may be, that God can deliver you? The second one, Jesus, let's finish up in verse 34. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith had made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of that plague. And while he speak, there came one from the ruler of the synagogue and said, your daughter is dead. When all the excitement has happened, you know, when we were in Europe and we got that call, we had just came out of weeks and months of revival meetings. Oh, God was blessing. The ministry was growing. Oh, the marriage retreats were happening. It was a great time of rejoicing. And then we get the word, my daughter is sick unto death. Could you imagine what could shake your faith just right there and then? I mean, this man now seen a miracle. This woman was 12 years sick, and she got healed, and she confessed, and she shared, and she gave a testimony, and now the word comes. You see, if Jesus didn't stop to take care of this need, then you would have gotten what you wanted. You see, yeah, I know my neighbor got blessed, but Lord, if you didn't stop to bless them, you could have really blessed me instead. No, it's too late. Remember the story of Lazarus? They send word and it says, hey, Lazarus, your friend, the one whom you love is sick unto death. Come. Relax, guys. 3 days later, we'll go. Then they got there, and the first thing Martha says, Master, if you had come when we called you, your friend, our brother, would not have died. Too late. Martha said it. Mary said it. And Jesus said, if you would believe. Yeah, we believe. We believe in the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus said. Take us to the tomb. Oh, Lord, he stinketh. You're too late for this. See, my son already left home, and he doesn't go to church anymore, and I gave up on him. See, my daughter, she's, my father, we have all these people we can blame and give up on them. And Jesus said, Lazarus. See, he knows you by name. He knows you, Todd, by name. He don't say, who's that? The pastor for Living Waters. No, he knows you by name. He knows every one of us by name. And he said, Lazarus. Someone said, I wonder if he said dead, come out, all the dead would have come. So he has to talk to who he talking to. Who is he talking to this morning? He's not saying Living Waters. He's calling you by name this morning. Are you listening for him this morning? Or are you just listening to me? Just go past me. Go straight to him. One was a healing. The other was a resurrection. He had just healed one. Now he's going to resurrect the other. Does your life need healing or does it need a complete resurrection? Are you dead in sin? Or are you alive in sin? Do you need healing from the sin or do you need resurrecting out of the sin? Now listen, they had some things in common. This girl, when she was born, this woman became sick. Because the girl was 12 years old, the woman was sick for 12 years. They had something in common. The both of them were sick unto death. This woman, how long could she go on bleeding like that? And this girl, they said, was unto death and she even died. Today you may have a bloody issue, a disease of sin. You may need a complete change, healing from sin. And the devil says you'll never make it. But Jesus says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come to give. And life are? No, which one do you believe? Whose message do you believe? Let me run along here. If I could touch the hem of his garment, I would be made whole. The man said, if you would come and touch her. It's a difference now, right? One was, if I would touch just the hem of his garment, the man said, if you would come and touch her, she'd be made whole. She may be healed and live. Got to jump down here a little bit here. We're running out of time. So here it is. Jesus says, okay, just believe. When the father was all now confused because he heard that the daughter was sick, he said, just believe. Let's go. I can imagine people laughing. No, yeah, let's go now. Yeah, we saw this one, but she's dead now. What are you going to do, Jesus? Okay. Let's stop a minute from the story and let's look at my own life and your own life. What is it right now you have a need of? What is it that you're going through right now in life? But you need him. Or you say, well, I don't have a personal issue, but what about that brother, that sister, that uncle, that father, that mother, that friend? Could you have faith for them this morning? I mean, they've been going through this for 12 years. Could you still have faith for them? They're a lost cause, some people say. Could you have faith for them? So the first thing I want us to think about this morning, where is my faith in God for deliverance for myself? See, this woman knew she was healed. They didn't have to tell her she was healed. Go back to the first woman. She knew. The woman with the issue of blood, she knew that she was healed. When? The Bible says immediately when she touched him. Immediately. Now, sometimes it doesn't happen immediately. We see in times when people had to go and wash and different things had to happen first. When I got saved, it didn't take me to go to rehab and then get rid of my drugs and alcohol and all that. I didn't have to. Some people do. It doesn't happen the same way with everyone. It didn't happen the same way with a woman, and it didn't happen the same way with a girl. Too different. And sometimes you look at the way something happened in one person's life and expect the same. God have a different plan for you. But the plan is that he wants to deliver you from whatever you're going through. The plan is that he wants to make sure that you know that he's a promise keeper. On Thursday or Friday, I want to give you a spiritual gift. Each one of person is going to get one under his promises. So that you can look at the promise of God and know that his promises are true. Let's stand. Where's the song leader? If you could start that song. He touched me. And he's still in the touching business today. You could also touch him today. But as you sing this song, I want us to sing this song and think about it personally. That is not about someone that needs a touch from God. I need a touch from God this morning. I need it. I need it. This is personal. I need it. Go ahead. Now, we could stop there for now, and we're going to pray. We're going to pray, and then we're going to sing that second song, Lord, I Need. And if you have a need this morning, you may have to crawl, you may have to push, you may have to tell someone, excuse me, because I want that need to be met this morning. It may be a personal need, or it may be a need for someone else. But if you have a need this morning, we want you to come. This woman had to bear all the shame and everything else, and what they would have done if they knew who she was. But she came, and she touched him. This man, Jairus, was a man well known of high esteem, yet he went down on his knees before Jesus. See, sometimes we're afraid to come to the altar because of what someone may think of us. And I don't want you to come just because I say to come. If God is touching you this morning, or you want to touch him this morning because of a personal need or some need in the family, I want you to come. But we're going to pray first. And then we're going to sing that song. But the greatest need I want you to come for is if you have never repented of your sin and asked Jesus Christ to become the Lord and Savior of your life. You've been in church, you know all the songs, you can sing them, you dress like a Christian, you talk like a Christian, you act like a Christian. But if Christ would come today, you'd be left behind. You're the first one to come. Because I'm telling you, He's a Redeemer, He's a Savior, and He's my Lord. And that could be for you today. That's the first person must come. And then anyone else that has a need. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you thanks and praise. We thank you, Lord God, that you are Jehovah Rapha. You are the healer. Physical healing, spiritual healing, emotional healing. Whatever the healing is, Lord God, you can heal me today. Maybe it's an alcohol problem. Maybe it's a drinking, a smoking problem. Maybe it's a lust problem. Maybe it's a hate, anger, unforgiveness problem. Lord, you could heal this morning for me personally. But Lord, you also would also hear my cry for someone else. And there may be someone else this morning that I want to pray for that is struggling, that I'd like to see you touch them. God, I want to come and I want to present them to you and by faith believe that you would bring healing. Father, for each and every one here this morning, oh God, if there's someone here who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, God, do not let them be left behind. But help them to come to the knowledge and grace of our Lord and Savior. Whatever the needs are this morning, oh God, you are the God to supply all our needs through your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Help us to come with expectation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing this song. And if you have a need this morning, I ask you would come and we'll pray for you. And I can't do it. Todd can't do it. Marvin can't do it. But the prayer of faith shall heal. Let's sing the song. Is there a personal need or is there a need for someone else? You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need, oh, I need you. I need you, my one defense, my righteousness. How I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found, it's where you are. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Anyone else wants to come before we pray? Let's sing that verse. Is God calling your name? Is he tugging on your heart this morning? Is he saying, come, come, my child. Come, I will deliver you. Come, my child, I will hear your request, your prayer. Anyone else? Marvin, would you come? You could still make your way up here. Anyone else? You're one of the pastors here. God has placed you as the man to, you and Todd as the under-shepherds. I want you to pray for them. We don't know the needs, but God knows.
Father God, we thank you for your Spirit moving among us this morning. Father, you've seen the response this morning. I pray that you would just meet every need. You know the needs of each person here. And Father, we believe in you, that you are the healer, as we heard this morning. You heal physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And Father, I just cry out to you for every need here, and that your Spirit would be faithful, as we know it will be, and that we would respond to your Spirit as you desire. And Father, just help each one of these to find your healing, to find your wholeness and completeness. And so, Father, we thank you for what you are doing this morning. We thank you for what you plan to do this week, and we just commit each day and to you and each person to you. Bring us back together again this evening in Jesus' name. Amen.